For there's others who are. We're being a resource church today because Debbie Lake is also preaching in Thaden Mount today with Hugh, and also Caroline is preaching in Edgware today. So there's lots of ministry going out from this place today. So just be praying for them as well. So we just pray as we come to God's word, and do keep your Bibles open there at the book of Esther. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And Jesus, we need you. We need you, Lord. Give us today our daily bread. We pray for a fresh touch of God through your word in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at this book of Esther, and if you've never read the book of Esther, I really encourage you to read it through, all 10 chapters. I haven't got time to cover the entire story today, but the book of Esther is an amazing book of the Bible. It's one of those sometimes forgotten books of scripture that people forget. An amazing character in the Bible. It's one of those books of the Bible where the name of God is not actually mentioned. Esther is a powerful story, and I want you to... We actually called our daughter Beth, we gave her the middle name Esther, because of those words, for such a time as this. And my heart's desire today is to awaken a passion in all of us. Hopefully today I want to be today to be a word of comfort. It's also to be like an alarm clock that kind of wakens us up. We all need that alarm clock, don't we, to get us up and to get us out. And I pray that the word of God today is going to be sort of ringing in your ear and waking us up, getting us moving spiritually. I used the example as well of, because to me this is a story of getting active with God and saying yes to God. So sometimes you ever see those buses that come by that say not in service? And you think, what's the point of that bus? Not in service. And I don't want anybody here today to have a Christian life where above you is written, not in service. Amen? Amen? Anybody here not in service? This is the time to get the number on your bus and find out, what is God calling you to do, to be? What is your part in this adventure of the kingdom of God? Because that's what Esther speaks into, and it's a wonderful thing. God is calling us to live for his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is calling us all to take up our cross. It says in Luke 9:23, if you want to be my disciple, then take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. All who want to be disciples of Jesus, we take up our cross, we follow him, and God is calling. And anybody who can hear his voice, are we tuned in to hear the voice of Jesus calling us to himself today, calling us? I can hear my Savior calling, take your cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. That's the heart of a disciple of Jesus. And the good news is today that Jesus is calling all of us. You are included. You are invited. You are part of what Jesus wants to do in our world today. And it may be, as I was praying into this message today, I sensed that there was a number of us, maybe this morning, who it may have been a little while since we've been fresh in the call of God on our lives. Perhaps that call of God, perhaps that sense of serving the Lord, that sense of love has grown a bit stale. It's like yesterday's bread. I love eating from Gales. You know, it's not doing me any favors on my waistline. But, and there's actually quite a lot there this morning. But it doesn't take long for that bread to get hard. And if what was beautiful the other day is hard by a few days' time, that can happen in our lives. God can touch your life. And all of a sudden, and you're serving the Lord, and you're doing great things for God, and you're seeing the joy of the Lord, and you're coming alive spiritually. But over time, it can jade, and it can get hard. What was God always calling his people Israel out of? Hard hearts. Stiff-necked, he called them, hard-hearted. May God save us from having hard hearts. I want a soft heart, a molten heart, soft and hot, on fire for God, but soft, never hard. God save us from that, because there's no love flowing out of a hard heart. There's no compassion, there's no peace, there's no joy. We're not going to come alive. It's all going to be duty and just stark obedience. But actually, Jesus calls us to more than that. When he says, take up your cross, what did Jesus say about his cross? He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It is hard, but it is also glorious to take up your cross and to follow Jesus. So God is calling all of us. He called Moses, remember in the burning bush? Moses was not expecting God to speak to him. Moses thought his life was finished. He was a shepherd, and he had had his time in Egypt as a prince of Egypt. And would he have ever thought God would use him beyond that? And then the burning bush came, and Moses took off his feet from his ground because he was standing on holy ground. This is holy ground this morning, because we're proclaiming a call of God. There's a burning bush in the middle of this church today. For anybody who can see it and hear it, and the Lord's saying, here am I. I'm sending you out. I've got a work for you to do for me. It's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God calling us on and up to love others, to be those who give ourselves and go the second mile and care and stand up about injustice and proclaim the gospel. This is the kind of people we're called to be. God called Moses. God called Gideon. You remember the story of Gideon in Judges 6 and 7 when Gideon was on the threshing floor. And Gideon was one of the judges of Israel at a time when the people were following the idols and were not following the ways of the Lord. God put his hand on Gideon's life. And the great thing about Gideon is Gideon thought he was rubbish. Gideon thought God would never ever use him. Gideon thought he was disqualified. He said, I'm the weakest of all of the people of God. I mean, like, if you're like a Gideon, you're looking around this morning and you're saying, everybody else here is better than me. God can't use me because of this, 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 and this. But God wanted Gideon, and God won a victory through Gideon. It's amazing. How good is God? God put his hand on Noah. Remember Noah back in the book of Genesis, when Noah was living in a wicked generation that was turning its back on God, and God had to send the flood. But God saw Noah and his family who were seeking to walk in the ways of the Lord. And God put his hand on Noah's life. And obviously he called Noah to do something what people thought was ridiculous. And people laughed at him. And he had to endure opposition and mocking and scorn. But was Noah doing the right thing? Of course he was. We know the story of Noah and the ark and how God saved people. And it was through Noah hearing God's voice and following that voice of God that his family and all those animals were saved, and we're sitting here today. And that's the wonderful thing. God puts his hand on somebody ordinary. Noah would never have thought of himself as somebody like that we'd still be talking about him. Noah was just a normal guy. But he was seeking to do the will of God. What does the Bible say about Elijah? It says he was a man of like passions as we are. Elijah was just like us, but he prayed. And God sent rain and God sent fire from heaven. God did amazing things. All the people of the Bible were ordinary people. None of them were, you know, all the people, you can go through them one by one. Look at Mary herself. We're coming up to Christmas time. A teenager. Jesus, God put his hand on a teenage girl out in the middle of nowhere in Galilee. And he said, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You're going to bear a son. And you're going to call him Jesus. What a high calling on a teenager to bear the Son of God in your womb. Wow. God is good at involving us and helping us join in with him. Even though we know we often feel insignificant. God doesn't see it that way. All our excuses, God says, no, put your excuses away. I want to use you. I want to bless you. I want to use you mightily for the kingdom of God. And that's what he did with Esther, a queen. This queen wasn't born a queen. She was born an Israelite. But she became a queen in Persia for a mighty king who was at the head of a million-strong army, the Persian army. I mean, this is an amazing story here, how Esther comes into the royal courts as a normal person and is promoted up and finds favor because of her integrity, her inner beauty, as well as her outer beauty. We read through the story of Esther. It's an amazing story, how God gets his hand upon somebody. I remember the first time God put his hand on my life. I was 15 years old. And I was on one of those times I was on the park at school, out at lunchtime at the park bench. I had my Bible with me and I opened it to Acts 26, where the Apostle Paul is describing how God called him into ministry. And God made those pages of scripture come alive at that moment. And I knew God was calling me. And it's never been the same since. Never been the same since, in a good way. God's saying, I'm calling you. I get called into one thing, you'll get called into something, whatever God's calling you into. God calls us all. We are all called. We're all the people of God. We are all, as we've just sung out, if we put our faith and trust in Christ and are his children, then we are enlisted. We are commissioned. We are called. We are sent forth. And today, my prayer is that we can grasp, what is my part? What's the thing, Lord God, that you want to put into my heart to get involved in, that I can be someone who stands up and makes a difference in this world for such a time as this? Amen. And God, we're going to look here in the book of Esther about what this young lady who became a queen, and God placed her in that place. This is the 5th century BC. And this is a time, the context here, there's a character in the story called Haman, who is an enemy of the people of God. He's trying to destroy the Jewish people. There's genocide in Haman's mind. He wants to wipe out the people of God. And so this is a huge moment in the story of God's people. Destruction is planned, and it's also a great time of intimidation because Haman wants everybody to bow to him. And Mordecai, who's one of the Jewish leaders at that time, refuses to bow to Haman. And so, you know, you can imagine Haman's steam is coming out of his ears. He is hot with rage against Mordecai and all the people of Israel. And this plan is hatched. It's a desperate crisis emergency moment for the people of God. They're about to be wiped out. And all this time, the Lord has Esther right there in the royal court. Esther hasn't told anybody that she is one of the Jewish people. She's one of God's people. And Mordecai and Esther are in communication. And there's another law which is pertinent here. In this royal court, if you were going to approach the king, you had to have an invitation to do so, or else you could be put to death unless you had the royal scepter extended to you, in which case you'd be fine. But anybody just walking up to the king could be put to death. This is the royal court in which Esther finds herself. And Mordecai and Esther are in communications here. And Esther has to step up with courage to this moment. You can imagine, just put yourself in Esther's shoes. Mordecai writes to Esther and saying, giving her the news that the people of God, there is a plan of destruction from Mordecai to wipe out the Jewish people. I mean, how would you be feeling at that point? You'd be in a place of desperation. Your family, all those around you that you love, are going to be wiped out. And Mordecai makes a suggestion to Esther and says, you should go into the king and talk to the king. Now, it comes to home, doesn't it? Well, if I do that, she writes back to him, you know that if I do this, I could be killed. That's when Mordecai writes back and says, "Who knows, Esther, whether you have come to such a royal position for such a time as this?" A moment of destruction. And the thing is, for us, but brothers and sisters today, we live in a world which is heading for destruction. We live in a world on the broad road, the Bible says. Jesus says there are two roads in life, a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. He says, enter the narrow gate. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on them. And we live in a world today that is under the judgment of God unless the people of God can declare this plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, the way to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way by which people can be saved. He is the ark by which we can be saved. It's Jesus. Did you know that the story of the flood is really a picture? He's the one that we need. And you and I today, we live in a time of intimidation where people want to tell us, you're just religious nuts. You don't believe in this. We believe in X, Y, Z. Don't tell me about your Jesus. People don't want to hear the message of Jesus for some reason. And we live in a world that's heading into destruction. And God wants to put his hand on you and me to make us ambassadors for Christ, messengers of a new covenant, messengers of a better hope, ones who bring the love of God into a broken, lost world, who bring the gospel of good news. Jesus came into the world saying, repent and believe the good news. It's good news. The rescue plan of God. God has come as a rescuer. That's why we talk about being saved. We're saved from destruction. We are saved from judgment. We are saved from sin and death. And that's the wonderful thing. That's why we worship him. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the light of the world. In a dark world, Jesus is the light. And he wants us to be his people of light. And just destruction and intimidation. So for us today, we hear the call of Jesus. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who is going to, how will they hear unless we preach to them? How will they believe unless we go? How will the 130,000 people in Epping Forest know about Jesus unless we shine with the light and tell them and show them the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, the mighty gulf God spanned at Calvary. Calvary love is what we're about. That's what we're about. And that's what Jesus wants to bring through this story of Esther today. Two things. Firstly, number one, Esther understood her calling. She got that note from Mordecai. It's time for you to step up, Esther. I'm sure, like a coach and horses, everything was pulling Esther the other direction. Her fears, her apprehensions. We all feel them, don't we? Apprehensive about stepping out for God. Apprehensive, fearful of sharing our faith with other people. It's common. It's how we are as humans. We feel this. I feel it. We all feel it at times. But this was a time of courage for Esther, where she had to know that actually, do you know what? Sometimes you have to step out and say and let your yes to God be bigger than your fears. We have fears. But may our yes be bigger than our no. is that okay? May our yes to God trump our no, so that it comes higher in our priority. It's not easy to share Jesus, but it is good. So we are here for such a time as this. It's time for us to get involved, to love, to care. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves in prayer. It's time for us to love the unlovely, to care for the poor, to promote justice, to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. It is time for us to come alongside the lonely. It is time for us to share the gospel with people who are heading to destruction. It's time for us to bring hope. What was it the bishop told us when we commissioned the Hope Center? He said, we are all hope centers. It's how we live every day when you go out to work, when you with the family, on your street. It's how we live. We are living hope centers. And I meet so many Christians who feel insignificant, who feel like, oh, I've got nothing to offer. I couldn't possibly do X, Y, Z. I've got, you know, I don't know my Bible well enough. When I tried it last time, it didn't work. And all these, you hear it time and time again. And I just want to point you back to Esther, back to Moses, back to Gideon, back to all the people in the Bible who had all the same reasons that you and I have for not doing what God called them to do. But may God help us to throw our excuses. You know what the Bible says? Throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. It will be hard. Like Churchill said, you know, I can only offer you blood, sweat, and tears, but victory ahead. The Lamb wins. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has overcome fear, sin, death, hell, you name it. Jesus is Lord. And so we are safe every day in his love. Our safety, where does our safety come from? The Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The persecuted church today are never promised safety. Sometimes it doesn't end in safety. God is not, sometimes we get the wrong idea and we say, because God helped me, that shows me he loves me. Do you know, he loves you anyway, even if physically it's not safe. He loves everybody. Some people get martyred for Christ. He loves them. We mustn't expect comfort. And we are geared up for comfort big time in our culture. We expect it. We feel we're entitled to comfort because of the way the world works. Actually, if our master, Jesus, was not entitled to comfort, why should we be? He was the Son of Man. He had no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom let men hide their faces. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, familiar with grief. This is the suffering servant, the wonderful Savior who loves us and who promises us we're safe with him, but we take risks for God. We live in a world that needs Christians to take some risks in loving people, in sharing the gospel. If we take no risks, believe me, we'll get exactly the same, something mediocre. It's the people of God who step up, scared, but taking risks and going for God, like Esther did. So it's a tremendous story, the story of Esther. I hope it inspires you. I hope it makes you think, wow, if God had that plan for Esther, what does he want me to do? What would God have for me? Little me. My goodness, God could take any one of us and do something amazing. What would it happen if he took all of us? Does he want to? The Holy Spirit wants to take all of us. Can I just share one other picture I wasn't meaning to share today? I was speaking this week to a church leader who shared with me something very moving, and they said that God gave them a picture in their church of the Holy Spirit. It was like please forgive me if I'm sharing this picture. I'm trying to do it the best I can. And I want to do it with awe and reverence to God. But they had this picture of a being in the corner of the church, weeping, crying, because he was left out. And they felt that that was the Holy Spirit, who was feeling excluded from all the activities and all the things that were going on. And he was in the corner. And my heart immediately thought, oh God, not here, Lord. I don't ever want you to be grieved in our church. I want the Holy Spirit, because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed. But friends, brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you today. to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, God. Yes, your purposes in my life. Yes, Lord. Lord, I haven't got much to offer, but what there is, you have it all. Lord, I don't know what it means. I don't know the full outworking of it, but Lord, whatever you want in my life, God, take it. I don't want you to be grieved of anything in my life, Lord, or in our church. I just, when I think of our church, and I love this church, I love you, but my great dream for me and you is all of us saying yes to God. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be so amazing. God would be doing glorious things through us and in us. It's as we say yes to him. I wonder, have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you? There's a beautiful verse in the New Testament that says, you know, Jesus talking to Mary and Martha, and he says, Mary, the Master has come and he is calling for you. And I want to say today, the Master has come and he's calling for you. He calls you by name. You belong to him. He calls you by name. You are precious. You are loved. You are safe and significant. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You have all that you need in him. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. And he is calling you today to share the gospel, to be a person of mission, to be a person of love and care, someone who stands up and says, I'm going to make a difference in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone who will, that's what we're looking for when we ask for Ignite team. That's what we're looking for when we're talking about, you know, we're not interested so much in tick sheets for serving at Christmas. We want disciples of Jesus who want God to come in the midst of all of our Christmas activities, because we want hundreds of people to know Jesus over this Christmas period. We're not just doing our services because we just always do them and it's expected. The heart's desire and our prayer to God is that many people will actually find Jesus. He's alive. He's not just at Christmas. He is alive. He is here. People don't know this. And who's going to tell them? That's why we're putting all these things out. That's why every week, whenever you hear us call for something, you know, we're calling for saints to step up like Esther did. We want, you know, I'd love to see an avalanche where we say, well, hang on a minute, we've got too many now, you know. Yeah. We don't know what to do with you all. I'm not just talking about volunteering in church. It may be something completely different. God puts a passion in your heart, like Melvin and Heather there, for prisons, prison ministry, and people who don't know Jesus out in prisons. God will put a passion in your heart, like for Heather with Epping Forest Food Bank. Passion to see Epping Forest fed in the name of Jesus and also saved. A passion like God has given all kinds of people here. Loads of people, Philippe and Carolyn here with Global Missions. You know, we could go on and there's loads of us here. I know you've already picked up what the Spirit wants to do in your life. And it is amazing with the elderly, with children, with young people, with those with disabilities, all kinds of things. God will put a passion on us. And what we need is an alarm clock going, you know, wake up, church. Because it's amazing, but let's live the Bible. Let's live in the power of the Holy Spirit and say yes to God and not grieve the Spirit. So that's the first thing. Esther understood her calling. And the call of God on us is like 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, the love of Christ compels me. That's where the call comes from. It comes from love. When Jesus fills our souls and we say, oh, you know, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. You know, assist me to proclaim the honors of your name. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim. Oh, yes, that's what we want. I want one day when I get to heaven, I never want to get to heaven not in service. I want to get active in service. That my, you know, the second before I get to heaven, the last breath God gives me, I'm somehow serving the Lord. And then enter glory, serving Jesus. Amen? You want to enter glory serving Jesus? Fresh in the things of God? Not stale, not hard, not half-baked, fresh in the things of God. You've got to work at it. You've got to train yourself to be godly. You've got to work at stepping over and keep saying yes to God. Otherwise, we're going to get stale, and it's awful when we're stale. The second thing is this, and I'll try and make this quicker. Esther is willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. That's the second thing. And she does it in two ways. Here she says, she starts by fully relying on God. What does she say to Mordecai? She says, fast for me. Wow. This is about starting the mission of God on our lives on our knees. We don't hit the ground running, you hit the ground kneeling when you get on with God. Hit the ground kneeling. Don't start by doing 20 things for God because you'll just burn out. Start on your knees saying, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to serve? God, I'm going to need you to give me the strength to break fear. Lord, I'm going to need you because when I'm in that place of serving you, I am weak, but you are strong. Jesus, I need you. That's what the fasting's about. Jesus, I need you. Fasting is not dieting. Fasting is saying I'm more hungry for God than for anything else. And we want to be in that place of fasting and dependency and seeking God. Saying, oh God, I seek you. I want you. That's why Jesus did it. Jesus got up early to pray. Jesus spent time with his Father. Jesus didn't just do his ministry when it felt like it. He had a secret time with God in his life. And in ministry, fruitful ministry, praise. And we know the place of prayer. And we get on our knees, and I've said here before many times, I'm a big believer on kneeling. I'm a big believer because it's a humble posture. We get on our knees and we say to God, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I'm not able to do this. Help me, Lord. God, I'm afraid. Help me, Lord. I want to say yes to you, Lord, but there's all these reasons why it's tough. Lord, God, help me. Depending on God. Esther was willing to go through that. She called on the people to fast and pray for her because she was going to need it. If we think we can do God's work in our own strength, we can't. We need God's help to do God's work in God's way. And that's a brilliant thing. We want to pray. We want to be a people of prayer. And the last thing is this. Esther says, listen to these words, and I pray that these words will ring in our hearts all week. She says, once she's done this and said, please fast for me. And if I perish, I perish. Wow. That is passion. That is in total trust in Jesus. If I perish, I perish. That's what Apostle Paul said. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Apostle Paul didn't always have joyful days in his life. He spent a lot of his time in prison for Jesus. But no matter what the cost, the cross calls us not to make excuses. And I just want to also honor, because I've been at two other services this week. One earlier this week for our dear brother in the Lord, Gary. And Teresa's here this morning and family. Gary, some of you may not have known Gary. Some of you have known him very well. He went to be with the Lord just recently. But I felt so genuinely humbled by listening to Gary's life this past week at the Thanksgiving. Because Gary lived his life for Jesus. Gary was an Esther. He said he gave his yes to God. He lived for others. I mean, I was hearing these stories of how he would be out doing food bank work and come back with no shoes on because he'd given his shoes to someone else who needed them on the streets. And I just think, oh, wow. May God give me that kind of love. That kind of love, that kind of sacrificial love. It's not put on a Sunday. It's something you live daily with. Gary clothed himself in the love of Jesus. And he did it through illness. Through chronic illness, he still followed Jesus. He didn't use any excuses and sort of say, well, it's got to be my time now. He gave himself to Jesus even through illness. And also that service yesterday with Aaron. Some of you were here when we were celebrating the good news of Aaron's healing. and this new heart. And the thing that I love about Aaron and the Williams family is how they keep serving Jesus through trials, through the pains, through the difficulties. Even while Aaron's heart, he needs a heart transplant, and he's still serving Jesus. There's no excuses. These are people who are showing us the way of Jesus. They're loving Jesus in those places. And I just think they are trophies of God's grace, showing us the way to live. Brothers and sisters, today may God help us to make sacrifices like Esther was willing to make. If we're going to see God do a great thing in our community, we won't see it by having one foot in comfort and one foot in the cross. It's going to be by being all in for Christ. All in for Christ. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. And he will give me help and grace and glory to do it. Living for the kingdom. Everyone coming alive as we hear God's call to step up like Esther did in your own way and to obey God. And you are here. I want you to hear this. You are here for such a time as this. There is more to life than all the humdrum of normal living. Eat, sleep, work, drink, eat, go to bed. There's more to life than that. We are living for the glory of the only begotten Son of God. We're living for Jesus. So let Jesus fill our... When you live for Jesus, other things take second place. We still have to live in this world, but we're not of it. But all we want is more of him. Keep making mistakes through it, but God loves us so much that despite all our mistakes, all of our waywardness, he keeps calling us and saying, come back to me. And so today, friends, today I want you to respond to the call of God like Esther on your life. You are here for such a time as this. Who knows if God has called you to Loughton, to Epping Forest, to St. Mary's for such a time as this. I pray that you will get it. And I pray that you will live it. You can pray the same for me. I don't want to get stale either. May God help us. And let's pray. Let me just pray for us. I wonder if you... Just as we do this, I'm going to invite you, if you can hear that call of God and you on your life and you're saying, yes, Jesus, I am alive. I am here for such a time as this. It's not pride, it's anything. It's humility because you're saying, God, take me. I'm just going to quietly, and I'm just going to ask quietly, if that's you, just stand to your feet right where you are now. Just as a sign to God, that you hear that call and you say, you agree with God. You're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm giving my yes to you today. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord God Almighty, you are wonderful. You are glorious. Oh God, for all these Esthers in our church family today, just want to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I pray that the love of Jesus may fill you up. Receive the love of God in the name of Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. So Lord Jesus, we make that living sacrifice of our lives this morning. And I pray, God, give us grace this week. Help us to battle through the doubts and the fears. Help us, Lord, to battle for your kingdom against the powers of the enemy, and in the name of Jesus to prevail. The love of God at the center. Hallelujah. And I just want to commission you today. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, the Lord Jesus. Know the intimacy with Jesus that he brings to you. And may you be filled, and may you bring the kingdom of God wherever you go this week. As you hug people, as you care for people, as you listen to people, as you share Jesus with people, as you visit people, just in the ordinary things of life, let the love of Jesus be transmitted in your whole being. We pray for his glory. Jesus, we want you to be glorified, and Holy Spirit, would you be pleased? I pray, Holy Spirit, we want you to love being here and to bring Jesus to life in our midst. We welcome you, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to